Welcome to the Sabbath School Rescue Podcast with your host, Buster Swoops and Michael Campbell. This week in preparation for Sabbath, March 30th, we look at Lesson 13, Wait on the Lord. Join us as we talk about joining the Lord and His patience highlighted through the psalm.
The Sabbath School Rescue Podcast is hosted by Michael Campbell and Buster Swoops at the Adventist Learning Community. Together, we love learning and have 18 years of pastoral experience, and now we have the privilege to dig deeper into the study.
Wow, Michael, so the end of a quarter. This is the first quarter. This is Lesson 13, Wait on the Lord.
And it's hard to believe we're at the end, but here we are at a lesson, a reminder on the importance of patience.
Yes, indeed. And with that thought comes Psalms 27, verse 14. It reads, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Patience, Michael, is a virtue, and can't do anything better than to wait on the Lord, but especially while we wait on his presence, wait in his presence, I should say.
Yeah, and that's a nice segue right into our lesson for this week, because we're called to sometimes wait, and that's just so difficult. You know, Buster, I don't like waiting.
I'm with you there.
I just had to drop off my car and to get some repair work done, some maintenance work done, right? And then at first I was like, oh, I'll wait. And then I'm like, how long do you think this will really take? And no, I don't want to wait. Sign me up for the shuttle. Take me home, you know, because I got lots of stuff to do. But that's our reality is that we are called to be patient. We're called to wait. Our text for this week from Psalm 27, verse 4 says not only to wait on the Lord, but be of good courage, right? And so we're to have an attitude of encouragement, or I like to think of gratitude, right?
Yes.
It's that we have to acknowledge both our situation and posture or position ourselves, a mindset that allows us to think in the most constructive and positive ways possible. And it says the Lord will strengthen us. So it's not like the Lord says, hey, you know, grin and bear it. As we reframe that, God promises a blessing that he will help to sustain us, to strengthen us through that time of waiting. And there's lots of passages here. I'm not going to read all of them. There are just a whole myriad of passages all along the same kind of idea. Be still before the Lord, wait patiently for him. And those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. So this idea of hoping or hopefulness, again, just the beautiful promises for us to hold on to cling to. Galatians, we see the same idea in the New Testament. Through the Spirit, we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. And so through God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, God gives us a spiritual framework, almost like spiritual glasses that allow us to be more spiritually sensitive to God's perspective, not just our own perspective. And that's what the Bible is all about, is to help us, to remind us that there is a divine perspective to what's going on in our world around us and in our individual lives. And so we are called to wait. And the lesson for this week doesn't talk about this, but Revelation, 14 talks about here is the patience of the saints.
Yes.
So God's people at the very end of time, they will have a ministry of waiting. And that's just who we are called to be. And so that's, the patience of the saints. In fact, my good friend, Ed Allen, he and I are working on a book on the history of Adventism. We're almost done with it. And at first we called it, Buster, The Patience of the Saints. And then we decided to change the title to The Impatience of the Saints.
That's more like it.
that's how it feels. Anyways, but let's talk about Monday's lesson, Peace of a Weaned Child.
Yeah, so this is it's Psalm 131, and as we're looking at it, it's only three verses, the entire chapter, one of the shorter chapters in Psalms, and it reads this. I'm just going to go straight into it. Lord, my heart is not haughty, it's not exalted, it's not lifted up, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. Surely I've calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. And this text is accompanied with the question, what does this psalm teach us about our relationship with God? And I think it teaches us to become more like him in God's character. And I think we hear that often, but to actually practice it, to put it into practice, if we look at the Lord, what he was like, meek and lowly, he was someone, especially the exemplifying Christ when he's here on this earth, whose heart was not hardy and his eyes were not lofty. Neither did our Lord concern himself with great matters, nor with things too profound. And that I'm talking about in the worldly sense. Too profound, he concerned himself with us and with ministry and with service and with love. Those things are very profound. But in man's eyes, the profound things are getting rich, becoming more powerful, sitting on a throne, lording over others. He did not concern himself with those things. And then it gets into this imagery of 131 verse 2. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. And hopefully you're getting the image of a child who is restless, who is worried, who is weary, who is hungry, whatever it was. And after he is, if for all intents and purposes, milk drunk, and he is calmed and he is restful, he is peaceful. Verse 3, O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. He is saying that when we have hope and trust in the Lord, we are like that child who is calmed, who is quieted, who is not concerned with the things of this world, but is concerned with things that are eternal. And hopefully our relationship with God is just that. It gives us an eternal perspective, not just looking here at the temporal, not just looking at, what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen today, but having a big picture view and recognizing that most of this is chaff, most of this is vain, and that the thing that actually matters is our relationship with God and our relationship with one another. And with that being said, when it's talking about here a peace of a weaned child, we are supposed to be carrying about with us this peace no matter where we go. And matter of fact, Matthew 18, verse 3, at the end of this lesson, at the end of Monday's lesson, it says, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is saying, those of us who have trust and hope in him, like a little child does, faith like a little child, then those are the ones who have a true eternal relationship. And so hopefully our relationships with God are like that. And Michael, that reminds us that we're not only called to be like children, we're also called to, one of my favorite hymns, bring in the sheaves. So tell us about Tuesday's lesson.
I'm about ready to start singing, right?
Yes.
So, in fact, by the way, we should talk about that hymn by Knowles Shaw, which has just become such a beloved favorite hymn for so many people. By the way, I don't know if you know the story of that. I was doing a little research on that for our podcast. And so he's the son of Scottish immigrants that was born in Ohio. And as he's kind of growing up there in rural Iowa, he loved to play the violin. And he was at one of these dances or whatever. And he just had this kind of conversion experience, had to stop what he was doing and decided he wanted to use his musical talent for the Lord, became a singing evangelist. And by the way, this is kind of crazy. 1855, he marries Martha Finley. So that's kind of interesting. You know, we have next quarter's lesson by Mark and Teeny Finley. So anyways, just kind of little funny vignette there. But he's a passionate, wanted to use this, grew up in an agrarian time of our country and in a very agricultural part of the world. So this is very familiar to him. And as he read this verse, it inspired the hymn from Psalm 126, verse 6. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. And so this is kind of an image here. We like to think that as Christians, we're always happy. In this case, here are people, this psalm, talks about tears and weeping. Yeah. So that's a reality, is that we live in a world of sin and and challenges and setbacks and things that just are not too pretty. And yet God can take whatever experiences we have, and not that God wants us to have those bad experiences, but through them, by being there with us through them, can bring something out of that, that even the worst of circumstances, God can use for something that becomes, in this case, the words are songs of joy. Actually, that's the refrain. He uses it twice. Your songs of joy in carrying sheaves, that God, you know, these sheaves, these blessings that go out from this passage. And when we acknowledge that out of our sorrow and setbacks and all of those things, that then through them or through those experiences, God can deepen our experience and eventually bring blessings. And so whatever it might be, you know, God sustaining us, that could be used to help encourage and sustain someone else. And Amen. That becomes in itself a witness, just like the hymn writer, Noel Shaw, you know, that he wanted to use right. his own experience to be a blessing to others, carrying those sheaves of rejoicing. And that's what God calls us to do. It's having that, again, that framework that allows us through the Spirit of God will right. out of our sorrow, bring laughter and joy and peace, all of the things that are promised here for us in Psalm 126.
Right. I love that, Michael.
By the way, this is another one of these songs of ascents. It's meant to be remembered or sung as the children of Israel were on their way to the temple, to Jerusalem. So maybe this is something to especially remember if you're on your way to church, as you're listening to this podcast, or maybe on your way to some event. This is the kind of perfect kind of mindset. Whatever challenges you've had this past week, ask God to help you see them in a new light that can therefore, God will sustain you and use that to be hopefully a way of being a blessing to others. So, but we're back to patience, right? And waiting, which brings us back again to Wednesday's lesson, which is waiting in God's Sabbath rest.
Yeah. So Psalm 92 is entitled Psalm, a song for the Sabbath day. And I'm not going to read all of it. It's 15 verses, but let's do some highlights here, Michael. It is to give thanks to the Lord and praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. On an instrument of 10 strings, on a lute, on the harp, with harmonious sound. For you, Lord God, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the work of your hands. How beautiful is that, right, Michael? Continues on. Verse 9, for behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish, all the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. My eye also has seen my desire on my enemies. My ear hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. And so you see this fortitude that happens here on the Sabbath day. Verse 92 and 13. Actually, I'm going to start at verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. You can see this wonderful image of a tree that's being planted, and even though it's growing old, it is still producing this fruit, and people are still bearing the gifts of those fruit and even the leaves of finding shade because someone is planted in deeply with Christ. And someone might say, well, as you're looking at this, it even talks about the spring springing up like grass. You see here there's growth. There is germination. There is this excelling that happens here on the Sabbath day as we learn to wait on the Lord and take a rest and hide in those promises, only to spring forth after the Sabbath, ready and rejuvenated to once again attack the work week. I share that because hopefully we're waiting on the Lord on the Sabbath day. And I'll just talk to you about a sad state of affairs, Michael. I think sometimes things that are benefited to us, that are given to us often, we take for granted. We really do. I'll put it this way. I do. I was just thinking about such a blessing that the Sabbath day is. And because it comes around week by week, and we sometimes have the same routines. We get up, we, you know, have a good breakfast, we go to church, we sit down, we stand up, we hear the sermon, we pray, we go home. Sometimes we rest, we wait around. Sometimes we're active. We have adventurers and pathfinders and things like that as well. But sometimes in the mundane, we forget that we're not worshiping the day. We're not worshiping the time of the day. We're worshiping the Savior. We're worshiping God. We're connecting with God. We're connecting with one another. And so in all those things, as we wait on the Lord on the Sabbath, it's not just a don't get caught up in the routine. Don't get caught up in the mundane. Get caught up in the relationship. Get caught up in the depthness and beyond the surface with one another. One of my favorite things to do, we have one planned this Sabbath, is getting together with people Sabbath afternoons and finding out about their lives, talking to couples and asking, how did you meet? Where did you meet? And it's amazing. And 99.9% of the couples that we get together with, the families we get together with, there's an element of God bringing a couple together and seeing the beauty of that and how it works. And so I'm telling you that those are some of the ways that we don't get caught up in the mundane, that we actually wait on the Lord on the Sabbath, is through connection with God and through connection with one another. And so please, I encourage you to do so. And for those of you who are still seeking that rest, know that according to Thursday's lesson, joy comes in the morning. So Michael, please share.
Absolutely. So, hey, by the way, on Sabbath, for me, what I'm really excited about is going bird watching.
Yes.
And enjoying God's creation. And then I was talking to some people at church, they're like, I would love to learn how to go bird watching. And I'm like, wait, I wonder if this could be a way that we could connect and worshiping God, but getting to meet new people. And it's amazing. 100%. What a opportunity and blessing that is to be able to learn and grow together. So I'm so inspired and man, I just wish we lived closer to spend some Sabbaths together with you, Buster. So that's
You know, I was going to say we did. We spent many a Sabbath when you were here. And
yeah, we did.
We missed those times. We have to do it again.
We need to do it again. So joy comes in the morning. Psalm 5, verse 3. Actually, there's a whole series of these different passages. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. So I think that's a good way to start our day in the morning. Is a heartfelt surrender to God, saying, hey, God, I just laid my life before you. I don't know what's going to happen today. Just this last week, we had the bridge fall here in Baltimore. Crazy, just absolutely crazy. You just don't know what's going to happen when we wake up. You know what happened the night before. And so we just thank God for every day. A new day is a gift of God. So, and we can be thankful for. And so we wait expectantly. Hey, God, whatever's going to happen in my life today, I need you and just want to lay my plans before you. And you know, this is kind of interesting. Psalm 30, verse 5. I'm not going to read all of these passages, but again, the same kind of idea. Weeping may stay or may last for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. So whatever happens, these things are but temporary in the scope of what's happening. And we trust in God. He is our refuge. And by the way, you know, this morning that is referred to is obviously an allusion ultimately to the resurrection morn. Or the resurrection morning when Jesus Christ, now it's Easter weekend. So, you know, we're thinking a lot about this at the moment, but this is what it's all about is seeing the stone rolled away, Jesus coming forth. Death could not keep Christ. And by the way, I love that, you know, it's Mary and it, you know, that is there at the tomb. It's the women in Christ's life that become the first to proclaim the resurrection. And this is one of the great stories. You know, people have asked, well, about the contributions of women in church history. We just see that so clearly here. One of those beautiful, beautiful moments. And so here is Mary and going and telling the disciples. And of course, they're incredulous, but all of this brings us back to who Jesus is and the fact that Jesus has indeed risen. And so if we're patient, we are sustained not only through the Holy Spirit, but we're also sustained by the fact that Jesus, we live and serve a risen Savior. And he is the one, he's the reason why all of everything else matters. And so we can be incredibly grateful. And as verse 8 says in Mark 16, that the women who are at the tomb, that they were at first trembling and bewildered, and then Jesus had to comfort them. Hey, don't be afraid. Don't be alarmed. Because that is our natural perpetual state as human beings. We get Twitter pated. We live in a state of anxiety. What's going to happen next?
Yes.
Am I going to have enough to live on? Am I going to have enough for retirement? Am I going to have enough to take care of my family? All of those things. And God says that the resurrection guarantees what the end result will be. And so, yeah, there's going to be some trouble on the way. That's what these passages and Psalms are talking about. Yeah, there's going to be times of distress and trouble, but Jesus is our refuge.
Amen. I love that, Michael. As you said, Jesus is our refuge. There is a quote from Steps of Christ, page 75 on Friday's lesson. It said, our Lord's commandment to wait on him is an impossible one unless he has done his work in us through the Holy Spirit. No amount of human enthusiasm will ever stand up on the strain that waiting will impose upon our frail self. Only one thing will bear the strain, and that is abiding in Jesus Christ, namely a personal relationship with him.
Beautiful, beautiful promise. Read the whole chapter in Steps to Christ.
Yes, please.
All-time favorite books by Ellen White. So
yes.
Well, we've been patient long enough. We've gone all the way through another quarter. Can't wait till next quarter. New topic on the great controversy. Can't wait. Stay tuned as we continue week by week as we'll be delving into a new quarter. You've been listening to Sabbath School Rescue Podcast with your host, Soup.
And Swoops.
Signing out. As we wrap up, we want to give a shout out to our sponsor, the Adventist Learning Community, a ministry of the North American Division of Seventh-day Adventists.
You can join us each week by subscribing on Spotify, iTunes, wherever you like to listen to podcasts. Also, make sure you share with as many people as possible, and be sure to give us feedback by rating our podcast, and go to our website, sabbathschoolrescue.org, for each weekly episode.